Spider-Man from YouTube.
I'm not.
You were on the ceiling.
I wasn't. Ned, what are you doing in my room?
You may let me in. You said we're going to finish a Death Star.
She doesn't know.
Nobody knows. Well, I mean, Mr. Stark knows because he made my suit, but that's it.
Was Tony Stark made you that? Are you an Avenger?
Yeah, basically. Dude, you can't tell anybody about this. Gotta keep it a secret.
A secret? Why?
Because you know what she's like. If she finds out people trying to kill me every single night, she's not going to let me do this anymore.
Okay. I'll level with you. I don't think I can keep this a secret. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I can't believe this is happening right now. I gotta go.
Hey, where are you going? What are you hiding?
Ron, I'm very cynical about these new Spider-Man movies just because we've had so many. We've had, now this is the third Spider-Man in a row now, but yep. I'm hearing good things about Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes, 93% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's just start with that because superhero comic book movies don't normally get well reviewed. But here's the second one, Wonder Woman, now Spider-Man Homecoming. And it's Tom Holland, a British kid. I mean, he's 21 now, but he's playing Spider-Man as a high school kid. So the homecoming in the subtitle has to do with him actually needing a date for the homecoming because he's in high school, and sort of a homecoming for Sony and Marvel Comics, which is a Disney property, coming together. We were introduced to the Spider-Man in Captain America Civil War, and he almost stole the movie from Robert Downey Jr. in The Avengers, right? So he's really good. The movie's got a nice light touch to it. It's PG-13, but good for your older kids. I mean, sci-fi action violence, but honestly, I thought this was the best Spider-Man since Sam Raimi did it back with Tobey Maguire.
Well, in the Tobey Maguire films, they had some playfulness, but they were really dark movies. And the one thing about the Spider-Man comic book series over the arc of time, there were moments when it was very dark, but there were also playful moments. And that's what I'm hearing about this film, is it's a little more playful. There's comedic elements.
Yes, very much so. And that's the new formula for comic book movies, if you ask me. Thinking Guardians of the Galaxy or even the R-rated Deadpool version of comic book movie. And so, you know, they got it right this time. And they got a terrific cast. Not only does Robert Downey Jr. show up, who arguably set the tone with his first Iron Man movie for that sort of character. Michael Keaton plays the bad guy, the Vulture, kind of a la the Birdman. So that's a cool thing that goes on. Jon Favreau in this movie, Marissa Tomei as Aunt May. So terrific cast, you know, very well done. All the formats got 2D, 3D, D-Box, IMAX as well. It's tracking to do maybe $100 million this weekend. It's going to be a worldwide hit.
Now, you're also bringing back, because the new War of the Planet of the Apes is coming out, you're bringing back the first two, Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, from this reboot, which is very interesting. I mean, there's sort of a phenomenon that happens every once in a while where they take something and remake it, yep, and make it and transform it into something much better than the original material. I mean, on television with Battlestar Galactica, they took one of the worst television shows ever made and made it and created one of the best science fiction shows ever made. And that's one of the things with when I saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes. They really made an intelligent film,
yes,
about the subject matter. And if you look back at the original films, the first one with Charlton Heston, they're actually very silly.
Yes.
And so what are you hearing about the third one?
Yeah, War of the Planet of the Apes, already over 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, so critics loving it. They've loved all three of them, and there's like the rare, you know, almost back to like Christopher Nolan with The Dark Knight sort of reverence for this series of Planet of the Apes. So yes, if you want to see all three of them back to back to back, 400 minutes plus, next week Wednesday at Celebration North, we're going to run the triple feature of Rise and Dawn and War for the Planet of the Apes in 3D. So that's going to be awesome. And of course, the new War movie opens up next week, Thursday night.
Eric Kuiper joins us now to talk about the indie film series at Woodland. And we have four dramas opening this month. And tell us about Band-Aid.
Well, Band-Aid of the four is the more lighthearted comedy of the pack. It's Adam Pally and Zoe Lister-Jones star in this movie, and it's a couple who, they've been married for a while, they don't have kids yet and that's you know, so that's, they're at the stage in their marriage where that's starting to separate them from some of their peers around them, and you know, they're at the point too where, you know, they still they still care about each other, still love each other, but they are fighting all the time. The movie opens with this sort of hilarious scene of them having a fight about a sink full of dishes, you know, and it's never actually about the sink full of dishes. It's about all these other things, and they're sort of tired of yelling at each other and fighting. So they decide maybe instead of fighting the way they've always done it before, what if they start a band and they fight with each other through lyrics and they write songs about their arguments together? And maybe they would actually get somewhere doing that, or at least they would have more fun fighting, is sort of the premise of this thing. So they go in the garage, they start doing this, and Fred Armiston happens to play their very quirky neighbor, who plays a pretty mean set of drums. So he becomes the drummer in this band. And so it's this kind of quirky, offbeat, relational drama that if you're in a relationship really of any kind, especially if you're married, you're going to resonate with these ridiculous arguments and the levels that they go to around family and sinks full of dishes and all of that stuff. It's just a really great time, great quirky indie comedy.
And then you also have Mocha.
Yeah, Mocha is a French film, stars a couple of France's most renowned female actors, and it's a bit of a thriller. The story is that this woman's son has been killed in what seems to be a hit and run. He was on his bike. And the police just aren't getting to the bottom of this. They're not moving towards it. So she starts to take things into her own hands. And what she knows is that the people, there's a man and a woman driving a mocha colored like 1982 Mercedes-Benz. And so there's not that many of them left on the road. So she's able to track down those cars and she starts to go look for these people. And she finds who she believes are the husband and wife that hit her son. And she starts to build a relationship with them because they happen to be trying to sell the car. And so you can imagine there are some really intense moments that are created where you as a viewer know a whole lot more about what seems to be going on than anybody else on the screen. And it's a really tender movie at the same time because of the subject matter of it, but a great thriller, incredibly well performed. It's a really wonderful film.
And then there's a Spanish movie you have opening called Truman, which centers in on the love of a dog.
Yeah, so it's, again, a great duo of actors, Spanish language film. Most of the film takes place in Madrid. The two primary characters are Julian and Tomas. Tomas is, these guys have been friends for their entire life. And Julian has been diagnosed with a terminal cancer. And he is in what appears to be his last days. He knows he doesn't have a lot of time. Truman is the name of his dog. And in really, this is not a dog movie. Truman actually is not even in probably half of the film. So don't go in looking for a dog movie. He more represents one of many of the loose ends that Julian needs to tie up in these final days, these relationships that he has that he feels compelled to tend to in these final moments of his life. And so Tomas goes over and he spends 4 or 5 days with his best friend in Madrid as he goes through sort of some mundane things that he needs to wrap up. I thought this movie was absolutely incredible. I looked, it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes still. It's very emotional at times, but it's hard earned emotion. It's not cheap emotion like a Grey's Anatomy, where if you put that person sick in a bed and that person next to him, yes, you can make me cry. It's hard earned, really sincere emotion. So wonderfully acted performances in that film.
And you have another French film called A Woman's Life.
Yeah, so this is it's a story about this young aristocrat who marries this man, and you know, in typical fashion, the 19th century in France, the way those things were sort of set up, and he is not a good guy. And so she is now kind of trapped in the social norms of 19th century Normandy, in this really terrible, abusive relationship. And she is now looking to break out. And that's obviously a much more complicated thing than it would be now. And so in that sense, it's a bit of a coming of age story and an empowerment story. And again, just incredible performances in all of these films that we have playing this month. It really centers around her story and her life, and is a real beautiful period piece that has a lot of grit to it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.